Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Matt Scalisi, editor of FilmNerds.com.
What's up, Graham?
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
I'm good. I just walked out of Logan, and I'm seeing this after a lot of the rest of our Film Nerd gang. So I've seen kind of all of your reactions to it, and I'm still processing it a little bit because I literally just walked out of it. So before I kind of register how I'm feeling about it, why don't you tell me what your thoughts are about Logan?
Well, I think that there's something we can both agree with right off the bat, which is that it's superior to all three of Chris Nolan's Batman movies.
It's definitely superior in terms of graphic violence. I can go with that.
Well, I mean just in terms of an overall cohesive film and especially the emotional impact that the movie makes and how it gets me to care about the characters.
I think you're partly trolling, but I know that you don't have particularly strong feelings about the Nolan Batman movies. And I will say this, I was more emotionally involved in this movie at the end of it than I expected to be, probably given the genre. Like, I definitely get fired up and I get excited about superhero movies that I care about, but I don't experience the type of emotions, I guess, that Logan is going for and I think achieved in part. I don't see anybody being at the edge of tears at a Nolan Batman movie or at a Marvel movie for that matter. It's just not something they usually even bother going for.
And this movie certainly has that multiple times throughout the film, mainly because of the relationships that Logan has with respectively Professor X and with Laura. Both of those relationships create so much substance that you don't get very often in superhero movies. And I think that's what makes Logan stand out. It's got amazing action. It really does. It tells a story and it definitely feels like a comic book movie. Feels like a really good X-Men movie. But that those scenes and the dynamics between those characters that the sort of triangle of characters is what makes it great.
You know, I actually think that there are times when the action gets in the way a little bit, and I think there's times where there's probably whole chunks of action that to me felt like they took me away from the parts of the movie that I was really enjoying. Or maybe that's not the right word, but appreciating and getting into, I kind of felt like, and I think some of that's intentional. They want to, you know, break you out of those moments and make it so that, you know, he never really gets the moment of peace until the end. But I think that this movie probably has a couple more action sequences than it kind of emotionally needs because it's a superhero movie and it feels like we've gone too long between people getting chopped up, so we have to throw in another one of those. But I do think mostly it feels more like kind of like an indie drama to me than it does a superhero movie for outside of those action sequences. And I think it's mostly just because the scenes are more about the characters and what they're going through than about jargon setting up the plot. To me, that's a thing that really sticks out about this movie and makes it a lot better than an average superhero movie is there's so many scenes that, I mean, this movie also, by the way, I think in the way that maybe Captain America Civil War did to some extent too, this movie benefits from being the ninth X-Men movie because it doesn't have to do a bunch of setting up and backstory. It just relies on your knowledge to some extent of the characters and what has gone on with them and their backstory. So it doesn't have to spend all that time setting that stuff up. It can take you. It knows that the audience can take for granted who Xavier is, what he, you know, what his background is, what he can do. And there's so much that it just sort of skips over because it can assume the audience knows about that stuff. And I think that's really cool. That's, to me, very new for a superhero movie. And the other thing that I think is new that to this movie in the genre is it kind of doesn't really worry about what's coming after. It's not worrying about setting anything up because it's telling the end of the story. And that's so against what we're used to seeing in a superhero movie. They're always setting something else up, even if it's another movie in another franchise. And this is not worrying about that. They can go all out in this movie because this is the end of the story.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. They're allowed to. It just feels different. It doesn't feel like it's setting up something else like you get so often in so many other superhero movies. I mean, this is it's about a superhero, but it's about a fallen superhero. You know, it's about a guy that used to be a superhero. Now he's an Uber driver. And I guess they couldn't get the Uber branding. I'm not sure what fake Uber app he was using, but it's a guy who's broken
30 or whatever. Yeah,
that's right. So it's Uber. It's probably like, it was probably like Alibaba had bought Uber and whatever became of that. But, yeah, to me, I would describe this movie less as a superhero movie and more of, as you said, sort of suggested, sort of gothic Western noir, you know? I mean, it doesn't rely on those old tropes. And referring to the violence and the action sequences, I think that while it did have the purpose of this movie was to be different, was to be more emotional and substantive, that it was also supposed to be the R-rated, graphically violent Wolverine movie that so many people have been waiting for so long, because people have always said, even since 2000 when they made the first X-Men movie, like, you can't really have a Wolverine character without it being rated R, because the berserker nature of his violence can't really be distilled into a PG-13 scenario. And that's what, I think that with this movie, you had to have a lot of that, because this is sort of your one chance. It's your last chance with Hugh Jackman. The guy that has played Wolverine for the last 17 years, this is his last movie, is the character, and you had to have a lot of it. And that being said, I, as somebody who grew up, you know, being a fan of Wolverine and like in the comics and knowing what kind of damage he could do, whenever that was happening, those scenes were happening and he was just like, you know, stabbing people in the face and everywhere else, I kind of felt like, okay, wow, we've been waiting for a long time to see this staged in an actual movie. And I thought that it was wonderfully staged. And, you know, I'm appreciative of the fact that it actually got to happen and that it's been validated not only by critics and audiences when you see the box office. I mean, people have wanted this for a long time, and I think it delivered. And you know, the fact that it's a neo or whatever I said, like a gothic Western noir, whatever, it still feels like an X-Men movie, especially when you have him joining up with this sort of next generation of mutants, which apparently it is actually setting up for future
sort
movies.
Of. Yeah,
it is.
Simon
Kinberg confirmed that, like, it will, that these kids, at least some of their journeys will be followed.
Yeah, I would guess that Laura will show up in some other movies. Although what's weird about it is the timeline, obviously, that they established that this is set up in the future. But, I mean, they took, I think, in terms of one thing that kind of interests me just from the sort of studio, you know, production side of this is the decisions that led to making this movie, because it's so unconventional and it's such a departure. I just sort of am curious about how they got to this point. And they take some things from comics that have already been written, but they're not really there's not really one thing that it's all from. It was a very creative mix. They're sort of mashing a bunch of different things together. I mean, Laura is a comics character, but she's not really very much like what we see in this movie. And you know, Old Man Logan obviously had a lot to do with this too, which is a great story, but again, not really anything to do with what this movie is.
Right.
It's just a very original creation that's not formulaic at all. And I really hope that the lesson that the studios take from this and come away with here is, you know, you can tell an adult comic book story that doesn't necessarily have to be loaded with fan service. It doesn't have to be. We don't have to tick boxes and wink at the audience and say, "Oh, we know you read comics, so here's this thing that we already know you like from comics." Like, just you can take inspiration from those things, but just make something that works in a movie, and don't worry about whether the geeks are satisfied or not. You know, I mean, just make something that's good when the movie's done.
Yeah,
I hope that's the lesson that comes away from this.
Absolutely. I haven't seen any of the X-Men movies, First Class, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse. The last one I saw was Last Stand, and that's just because the marketing of the movies, marketing materials just didn't appeal to me. The marketing that they did for Logan totally appealed to me. It was beautiful. And the marketing, it earned the movie that you actually see. Like, the marketing isn't just like some slick way that they can market this movie. It is true to the movie and to the feeling that you get watching it. And you know, I'm a guy that doesn't necessarily just jump at, you know, every time the Marvel logo appears. I'm not like guaranteed to go see it in the theater. I'm just not. But in this case, it got me, who's not your typical Marvel fanboy, to go and see it very quickly after it was released. So in that sense, I can see why it's successful, because they just did such a good job marketing it, and I think that now the word of mouth is going to be so strong that more people who normally, you know, you're going to get a lot of people that are going to say, like, no, look, this isn't just a superhero movie. It's actually a great movie. And I agree with that. So, well, Matt, let's move on to another release that's been out for a couple of weeks. We've both seen Get Out. Written and directed by Jordan Peele of Key & Peele. I think everybody was a little surprised when they saw that one of these guys, Key & Peele guys, was going to make a horror movie for Blumhouse. But then he shocked the world when it has crushed and made just about $30 million in 2 weeks in a row on a tiny budget. It's a legitimate hit, and it's getting amazing reviews. It was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes at one point. I saw it with a big crowd on Saturday night, and I love this movie. It's so original, so thought-provoking, stays with you for days after you leave. All shot in Alabama, which is really cool, where we're both from. And Get Out is just a movie that's so refreshing to have at this point in the year, just a great film that has everybody talking. What did you think?
I remember walking out of it just immediately thinking, I don't know that I've ever had that much fun at a horror movie. And it is scary, but it's also, I mean, I think it's like sort of hopeful to me, because I feel like we're finally pulling out of this really grim era of horror movies built around just sort of being as dark and cynical as possible. And this is a movie that is designed for an audience to have a ton of fun.
Yeah,
I mean, it's also, I think, really built to be watched in a large crowd with a big audience. I think that he knew that a big part of this, you know, the demographic that would see this movie were going to be black audiences, although it obviously had a much wider appeal than that. But, you know, there's basically a character in this movie that is an audience member watching the movie while also being part of the story. And it
right.
was so great, because there's people around me in the theater shouting stuff, and then Rod, the character in the movie, would say almost exactly what these people around me were saying in the
yeah.
movie. And it was just a director that's so obviously aware of the audience and what they would be experiencing while they're watching this movie. But, you know, in addition to being fun and funny at times, it still isn't schlocky, and I don't think it takes its characters lightly or its subject matter lightly. Like it also has something to say, and it makes you still care about the characters within the framework of the movie. To me, I was invested with the hero, and when we get to, you know, when the stuff starts hitting the fan, I really wanted him to make it out of it. And there's a moment where he really plays with the audience and makes you think, after all of this, that it's not gonna end well. And I mean, it was a huge blow. Like I was so bummed when we see the police car show up, and then he sort of flips it around on you, and the whole audience went crazy when you sort of get the reveal of who's in the police car.
Right.
It was just so incredibly fun. It is a horror movie that I think could only be made by a comedian who understands how to work an audience like that.
Yeah.
But also, I have to say, too, the performances in this movie are so good all around. I can't remember the lead actor's name, but he's really, really good. I've never seen him in anything before. And Allison Williams is shockingly great at being a sort of sneaky villain in this movie. I think she does a really tremendous
right.
job.
Yeah, she has a major heel turn. Starts out as the ultimate baby face, and in the face of all these evil, weird people, she's like a calm, reassuring voice. And then sure enough, she turns heel in a major way. And one of my favorite, you know, this Jordan Peele is obviously he's so creative, and his mind is you know, very interesting, because all these little touches, like especially her, you know, Googling top NCAA prospects and eating one Fruit Loop at a time, you know, and having a glass of milk, like just little touches like that made this movie so fun and bizarre. And I agree with you. Like, I saw it with a big audience too, and that was really fun. There was a lot of like talking to the screen, yelling at the screen. But this would be a really fun one to watch on your own, in my opinion, as well, because I think that at the end of it, it'll like freak you out, and you won't want to leave your house. So I just think, to me, it's like, you know, it's advertised as a horror movie, as a scary movie, I should say, but this felt like a really great Twilight Zone episode.
Which
we need,
sure.
We need more of. And he's promised that he's going to make more what he calls social thrillers, where you don't need gore, you don't need bodies, and you don't need people being stabbed out of nowhere and stuff like that. And, that's fun, and it has its place, certainly. But you know, there's enough about this society that's horrific and terrifying where you don't need to rest on those tropes.
I think the violence in this movie is almost. I mean, there is obviously some that is played for, to amp up the terror, but a lot of the goriest stuff is really all cathartic violence. It's not it's not like let's rip off innocent bystander character just to gross you out. Everybody for the most part in the sort of last act of the movie, every death got a big cheer in my audience.
Yeah.
It was earned. Like, they want you to cheer for that, and because everybody got what was coming to them, basically. That's unique for horror movies. I see a fair number of horror movies, and I'm a fan of the genre, and I really don't think I've had as much fun watching a horror movie as I did in Get Out. It's just such an entertaining, scary movie, and it also is incredibly clever and has a lot to say that I'm probably still processing exactly the sort of themes that are going on in here of the feeling of a black man that not necessarily just that everybody's out to get him, but that they want what you have. And that's sort of the nature of why these people are out to get him, is they want to take, you know, all of the good things that he has about his culture.
Yeah, there's so much that can be said and you know, written about this. I've read a lot of it. I look forward to reading more. There's lots of symbolism in the movie that's very, under the surface, and you have to, like, really look for. I'm glad you liked it. I would recommend also people see it while these crowds are still hot, because as as you said, it's a fun movie to see with a hot crowd. But man, Logan, Get Out, it's already been a great year for movies. We have two awesome movies so far that are going to stand out when it comes to the end of the year, I think, that we're going to have to come back to when we're making our top 10 list at the end of the year. But with that, Matt, I got to run. It's been fun, and looking forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for talking about it with me, Graham.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.